Talk Radio. We're back from Mexico. It's been an incredible trip, and I'm really glad to be back. Although in coming home, we experienced 200-mile-an-hour winds, and it's just incredible up here on the mountain. According to the news, they said that the wind gusts were up to 200 miles an hour, and it looked like Godzilla walked through Trout Lake, Washington. But nonetheless, we're broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington. It's otherwise known as Paranormal and UFO Central. We're back on the air. We just got our power back on 3 or 4 hours ago. But again, as I was saying, that there is a pretty major storm went through here and some of the worst destruction I've ever seen. My plane landed Thursday night right in the middle of this storm, and when the pilots actually got the plane on the ground, everybody cheered and clapped because the plane was side-slipping back and forth and bumping up and down and everything on the way in, and it's being blown around quite a bit. They did an amazing job. So his name was Captain Poindexter, did an awesome job on getting us down on the ground, and on the way in. And when I got up to Trout Lake, the whole highway was just wall-to-wall branches and from the trees, and trees that had been knocked down. And they're actually using a snowplow to remove all of the branches that were covering. The entire road was just covered with branches that were just stripped off the trees. It was amazing. But they also had other crews out there cutting trees in half and moving them off the highway so we could get home. And we almost made it home and were diverted because the highway was closed because a large section of telephone poles were taken out, either through trees coming down or I don't know what happened. But when we drove up there, we were like first on the scene, it seemed like, right after the event. All the wires, all of the major power lines were down. It was an amazing sight. And then in the morning to check out what happened, a lot of homes were ruined. You know, one had three trees supposedly fell right on it, a mobile home, according to one report. But what I saw was some huge fir trees and pine trees that went down. Hit the local Grange here. I guess three trees went down by the post office, and just all around us there was destruction. You know, it's pretty amazing. The good news is here at the East Eddy Ranch, nothing happened. Imagine that. You know, we didn't lose one tree. Here we had some old dead trees that were up that we thought would go down. They didn't even go down. So. Somebody was smiling on us here at the ranch, which was great. The origin of this flare. Now in the news, December 13th, there was an X-class flare, and it was unleashed and heading for the Earth, which would make sense, you know, because right after these flares, that's about as high as you can get is X-class. And within the next 2 days, you have just crazy weather and people going through emotional swings and things of that nature because of these flares. So usually within 3 or 4 days after that, you have an increase in earthquake activity. And I'm getting all kinds of reports of earthquakes around the world. So the formula basically is when these flares go off, it starts out creating social change. and a lot of emotional outbursts and people going into process and people feeling tired and then having energy, like an accelerated energy coming in that they actually feel it and get a little antsy, you might say, or edgy. But it also accelerates consciousness, you know, the awakened healing process and all the way down to the DNA level. But, you know, the weather definitely is affected by this, and then it follows, you know, down the vibrational continuum, you might say, into the physical. So I would be expecting some more earthquakes and more volcanic activity due to the increased energy we just were walloped with. And, you know, all this energy that enters into the poles and it creates heat and pressure, and that pressure's got to be released somehow. So one way or the other, the Earth is overheating, and that overheating process is creating pressure, and that pressure is going to be released. So we need to just prepare for that and be aware of it. There's so many other things about this trip in Mexico. I'd like to kind of bring in Doug here. Don, are you there, Don? Hello? Oh, well, we'll catch him later. He's probably off doing something else. But anyway, hopefully everything's working out here. We've got the power back on. My home broadcasting unit, it seemed to weather the storm, which is amazing. Last time it was blown out. And the computers are up, and we're back on the air. So that's the good news for that. The trip to Mexico, I recently got back from Mexico, and I actually broadcasted the last show from the top of the Sayulita Fish Taco, which is a very well-known place. Mark, or Alberto, as many people call him, was there, and he was an excellent host and helped me nail down a lot of events that were going on in our area. There was three sightings while I was there in Mexico, right near the place I was staying, and a lot of people saw it, some of the ships rising up. And one area in particular, just to the left, I think it's Punta Mita, right off of that area, there's an island, and there's a spot there that there's strange glowing lights that people see on a regular basis, and they actually see ships coming up out of the water. I found some paintings done by some of the locals of these events where they actually showed these ships coming up out of the water, and then there's paintings of these blue beings that are blue in color that are interfacing with the locals there. And some of the locals, the kids in the paintings actually were blue, so it shows some kind of a genetic hookup or uplink there going on. You know, according to the pictures and the legends, there's several places there, you know, very close, within 45 minutes to an hour of the area where there is massive sightings. A lot of people seeing these ships, and there's places where beings appear, like light beings appear, and they're singing. They're actually, and people run when they see these events, which is pretty much the same thing that happens in the States. You know, we need to stop running and stick around and start asking some questions, you know, and then we're going to get to the bottom of who we are, you know, why we're here and where we're going. But it would be good to start interfacing with these beings, and, you know, it probably is spooky to stand in the presence of something so awesome, but we need to transcend our fear and start communicating. There's a lot of people that are very interested in going back. One of these days we may set up some kind of a group or something there at the place I was staying, and go up and create some expeditions and go up to these other power spots. You know, some of these places are very ancient. They have petroglyphs. They have giant stones that fit together, you know, just like some of the old Mayan temples and things. You know, they've been around forever, and I'm beginning to wonder if contact it might just happen in Mexico first. It's already happening. There's thousands of ships being sighted over Mexico. Jaime Masson is doing an excellent job in documenting that. And there's an openness there. The people there, the one thing I was very taken by was, although religion is very strong there, and they do have a very strong, you know, with Our Lady of Guadalupe, which it would be Mary, you know, our image of Mary, there's a very loving connection and worship there with the feminine energy, very strong. And although the patriarchal images are trying to take over there, it just couldn't quite do it. And I think that is the opening that's going to create, you know, a lot of contact and a lot of openings for the other dimensions, the higher dimensions, because when you talk about, you know, UFOs or OMBIs there, the people smile and their eyes light up, and they consider it a very spiritual thing, a very heavenly thing, and because of that, and because of the nature of the people there, being heart-centered and emotionally, you know, open to these things, I believe there's going to be a lot of contact going on, and there seems to be a lot of contact going on when I talk to some of the locals with certain individuals and shamans and people that are looking into that area. But anyway, I would imagine that, you know, some trips to Mexico to these spots where the ships are being sighted with some focused intent on making contact would be the key for opening the door to contact. I think contact is inevitable. I think it's going to happen within the next 2 years, undeniably. And I'm not just talking about contact here and there. I'm talking about open contact with the public in undeniable ways, to where there will be massive sightings of ships, you know, parking all across the planet, you might say, and being there for everyone to see. Those that are in fear, and those who are superstitious, and those who want to stay in their box, you know, their limited reality, might have a struggle with this. And that's really okay. You know, it's their struggle, and you know, nobody's going to force anything on them, but eventually they are going to have to accept the fact that we're not alone, and we never have been alone, and there's a long, long, long history of contact and interface with humanity. So, you know, it's, the research is there for anybody who wants to do the research. The evidence is there that we are being visited and have been visited, you know, since the beginning of recorded history, you might say. And it's ongoing. It's not going to go away. It's only going to increase. It's going to only get stronger, and the numbers are increasing as we speak. I haven't had access to a computer, so, and my emails did back up, and a lot of people sent me a lot of emails that bounced back, but we're back on now. We've got most of it downloaded, the emails, and so feel free to email, go to the site at www.eseti.org and send me an email. Or you can go to the BBS radio site and send me an email, and I promise I'll get back to you as soon as possible. I'm still digging out under an avalanche of emails and communications. So we'll get back to you as soon as possible. But there are just so many things going on. I don't even know where to start with the Earth and the, you know, with the Mayan calendar. And it depends on who you talk to about the Mayan calendar, but some people say we're going to go through thousands of years. Some people say even more of years of evolution in just 1 year, starting since November. So, you know, according to the Mayan calendar and being down in that area and talking to some of the locals who are very aware of the Mayan calendar, it seems to all correspond with we are definitely in overdrive right now, and you're going to see a lot of the heavy energies of tyranny, a lot of the hidden nonsense going on, a lot of the suppressed information, all is going to be surfacing very quickly as we take this quantum leap in evolution. So anyway, that, you know, the good news for me is that, you know, something myself and so many others have been waiting for so long is now all unfolding, and that is the awakening healing of humanity and the earth. So anyway, we're well on our way and getting ready for some quantum change on every level. So hang on and tap into your own inner sensitivity and listen to what nature's saying and go with the flow. That's all I can say. It's imperative that each person develop their own inner sensitivity, their own spirit connection, and listen, you know, and act on the guidance. Hopefully Don is there. Don, are you with us?
Hello. Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
It's good to be here. How are you doing?
Good.
Excellent.
Good.
Excellent.
I guess we're going to have Wynn call in too, huh?
Well, let's hope so. He might. You know, you never know.
Yeah. That'd be good to have him. We'll do a three-way here on the radio. We had some interesting things going on. Steve Marino, who was going to try to come on tonight, which is our lead investigator, is stranded on the side of a highway somewhere. So I guess he had a huge load of lumber. He also does construction work, and he's in the middle of unloading this lumber and had a truck overloaded. Something going on with the springs. I couldn't really tell what he was saying because I could hear all the trucks going by. So anyway, he may call in later on. I don't know, but we'll see. But anyway, Don, how the heck are you?
You know, I'm doing fabulous. I can't tell what it is, but I'm happy. I'm joyous. The energies that are abounding are, I think, quite strong. They're, of course, I think, energies of transformation. And I think, I'm feeling them. I don't know who else is, but...
Well, you know, according to my emails and according to my phone, which has been ringing off the hook because of the counseling work that I do, it seems everybody is feeling it right now. And they just say, what is going on?
Yeah.
And these huge energy influxes. I feel emotional outbursts. I feel other unseen energies around me. What is happening? And I just say, well, the veils are all coming down, and we've got to release the past and get on with the awakening healing process.
It feels like it. It really feels like... the veils are starting to come down because I don't know. It's a sense, you know. It's almost like a sixth sense. You see things, you feel things, you hear things, you sense things moving about. Maybe that's just me, but it feels like there's a lot of motion, a lot of animation, a lot of life, a lot of things happening in and around me now that I wasn't aware of before. And it's not just because I'm on this path. This is a perceptive thing that I've been noticing grow significantly in the last little while.
Well, you're not alone because the people up here living at the ranch, and all of us are seeing the same thing. We're seeing these light flashes everywhere, and blue,
pinks, greens, neon flashes.
Yeah.
I'm seeing them too out my window, quite a number of them. They'll actually point themselves out, make it a mission to, be noticed.
Yeah, it seems like they're saying, hey, we're here, you're not alone, we're standing right next to you. You may not be able to see us, but you meditate and focus on your feelings and open up to the light and the love that it's there.
Right? Yes. I agree. It feels like they're a lot closer.
Now I'm getting information from different sources, some scientific, some remote viewing, some about these huge energy waves coming in from galactic core and a lot of people are saying, oh, it's just the solar flares and the coronal mass ejections, but there's something much, much bigger behind that.
Really?
And they're saying they're seeing huge waves of energy And at night, here, we can actually watch these waves come in because our skies are so clear. And we're standing outside. And I went outside for last night for just, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. And it was just beautiful. The skies cleared up. And we had three or four sightings just in a few minutes that I was there.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on behind the clouds?
Well, I think they're, yeah, I really think they just stepped it up.
Yeah.
Obviously. You know, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, you know, earlier we talked about this merman thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I found another site. Now, this is strange. We're trying to track this down. Now, here's my understanding of it. I was there, Punta Mita, which is right next to Sayulita,
mm-hmm.
where I was staying. I was there the day before supposedly this thing was found. And the place is deader than a doornail. I mean, there's like nobody there. There was a few fishermen, and that was
interesting.
And they were inside, you know. And, I mean, there was nobody on the beach. And
did anybody talk about it?
Well, what happened was, and then this event supposedly happened down there. And they grabbed this creature, this merman thing, that supposedly washed up on the beach. And carted it off somewhere really quickly. Now, we went down there the day after, and there was police lined all up and down the beach.
Really?
So something's going on, and I don't know if it's related, but something is definitely going on there. Now, I did a search on this, and it was in the local news, the newspapers, which are you know, the major news. It hit the major news there, and according to the police report, this creature was found, this merman. And there's also been a lot of sightings by the fishermen there of this creature, of this merman. Now I investigated further, and it turned up on what's that one called? Legends and something, I don't know, Myths and Legends site. And now they have this creature up on the site saying that it showed up in the Philippines. They found it on the beach in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
They found it in Miami. They found it. Now, all this disinformation or whatever this stuff is coming out now about this merman. And you know, I don't know why, but my gut feeling is something did happen. And that
they're covering it up.
And they're covering it up, and they're using a lot of misinformation or disinformation or I don't know what it is, because the fishermen there often talk about this creature. And I talked to some of the fishermen there with my brother, who speaks very fluent, pretty fluent Spanish, and another guy who speaks very fluent Spanish and English as well. And they said that they see this creature swimming through the ocean. They actually had somebody talk about it, I believe on the Art Bell show, and they said that as this creature swims, the water's actually illuminate and clear up, you know, in its wake. So many thought, and the description of it is identical to the pictures that were taken. Now, those pictures were supposedly a police report taken at Punta Mita, Mexico, which is just a little town right across the way. It's a short little run over there. So, you know, to get into the bottom of this, you know, there is the possibility that it could be a hoax and somebody's just trying to capitalize on it. But the detail in the photograph, the new ones that I found, it's so incredible. And the guy that I interviewed there, Mark, you worked on Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
On the Roswell, the movie, he's very educated in, you know, special effects and all these other things. He said, you know, to create a special effect like that, would cost like $50,000 to $100,000. And why?
Wow.
You know what? Where's the gain? You know, the only gain I could see is to sell newspapers. But why? Why would they go to that much extent? They're not going to make $50,000 on a on creating a prop like that.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, there is a possibility that it is a hoax, you know, but you know, just there's something going on there, according to the fishermen, you know, according to the police report, and according to what I saw going on the beach. And you know, there was a guy down there. He asked one of the guys, "How come you guys are here?" And they wouldn't tell him.
Yeah. Well, we have a link actually to the images on the TNT board. If they go to the second page, it's up there. It's called Merman, and there'll be links to images and such of it. It's I mean, if that's a viable creature, that's amazing.
You know, I looked. I mean, I studied this thing up and down and zoomed in on it and looked at it and boy, you know, somebody put all those little scales on it. And the fins and the little just the work it would involve and the coloring of it, everything is just phenomenal. So, you know, I have a feeling just, you know, I know there's a lot of disinformation involved in this thing, but
right.
my gut feeling is that there is something of this nature out there swimming around, and who knows where it's from. You know, I don't know if it's just some creature coming from another dimension, if it's coming from the inner earth, or if it's coming from ET origin, or what the heck it is, you know.
Excuse me.
You know, nobody knows, but,
Well, you know, you'd wonder, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Now, something else happened on the next ridge over from where I was staying, is they had a UFO crash a couple years ago. And I don't know the exact timing of it, but I was talking to the locals there, and they said some object came down, crashed into the forest, started a small fire. They had the you know, the police came first, made a few phone calls, and then guess who showed up? NASA and black helicopters.
Amazing, yeah.
And they cleaned that place up, and according to the locals, some trunk came up there and hauled something off. So,
Did you hear about that flying saucer that was carted away on that truck?
Yeah, in Brazil.
Yeah, and they didn't cover it.
Yeah, they just left it on the truck.
I mean, they're not related, are they?
You know, I don't know, but
Who knows?
Yeah, there's definitely. I got those photographs, and actually, I was thinking about. I put it out over my newsletter. But for some reason, I can't send photographs now for Yahoo. They're doing something. They don't let you send photographs.
Yeah.
Or I'm doing it wrong. I'm not that computer savvy. But, I think I might put those up on my site for people to check it out. But, you know, obviously another crash, you know, and it looks very similar to, you know what it looks like? To me, it looks like one of those Palladian, what do you call them, telemeter ships that are... Mainly, I think they're unmanned, and they're mainly for communication and monitoring.
Aerial drones.
Yeah, things like that. You know, but it might be something else. But it looks about the size of those, one of those. But you know, that'd be some pretty small people in that thing.
Very.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I think things are coming down out of the sky. In a lot of different places, you know, due to who knows what. There might be some kind of little skirmish going on. We might be shooting them down, our own government.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot first, ask questions later. You know, there could be a lot of different things going on. And who knows?
I wonder, like, I mean, wouldn't electromagnetic pulses and things in effect interfere with them?
Yeah, I'm sure this sun flare that just hit the earth, whacked the earth, might have thrown their clear equipment off the nose.
Yeah.
They may not be, you know, coming from somewhere else. They may not be expecting that. Just like, you know, if you come from another planet that doesn't have lightning, you know, and you get whacked with a lightning bolt. So, wait a second, we didn't gear up for that, you know. We didn't plan on that one, so... You know, who knows?
I mean, mm-hmm.
There's so many different things that could happen that could throw off.
So have you spoken to anybody down there on any other incidences? Or?
You know, I did. I talked to some shamans there, and it was quite interesting. They were filling me in on a lot of details, and one kid in particular, I really liked this one kid. I talked to him, and he spoke very fluent English, and he says, oh, yeah, and he told me this area where they sit above the, way up in the mountains, like the skies are real clear up there. And he said these things are coming up out of the ground and materializing and taking off into space. And he said they're also flying overhead, and they're seeing it on a regular basis in this one area, and that's one that I have scheduled. Next time I go there, I'm taking a road trip up to this place, and I have the information to contact, you know, this kid.
And wow, yeah.
There's, I went to this other very special place where they do a lot of ceremony there, and they do a lot of sweat lodge, they do, you know, peyote ceremonies and things like that. But I went and checked out this place, and, boy, the energy was phenomenal there, and I took a lot of photos, which I'm going to get up on the site pretty soon. We just got our power back on, so I haven't even had a chance to download the pictures and look and see what's on them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if I don't have some UFOs or some of my photos. I definitely felt the energy, and one place, the place I was staying, that people came to me and talked to me. That they saw two or three ships really light up the sky and cruise along, so right over the place.
So what do you think is the plan as far as timing? Do you think that they're waiting for another 5 years?
No, I don't think so, because, you know, this acceleration that we're undergoing right now within the next year is opening the door. And I think there's going to be a lot of contact happening, but I doubt very much it's going to be coming through the government, but there's going to be so much contact and so many sightings that all the people that are covering it up are going to have so much egg on their face, it's going to have to come clean and admit it. You know, right now the evidence is overwhelming. The polls are all showing, you know, 80%+ that people do believe UFOs are real and there is a government cover-up. So.
Well, yeah, I believe that is fact.
I think it's going to increase even more. You know, so, you know, as days go on, because Filer Files, I keep getting his information and other reports from other UFO reporting centers, and the activity is just exponentially jumped up, you know, around the world. And, you know, there's incredible, if you go online and look at some of the photographs, just a lot of the stuff on Google Video, if you type in eSETI on Google Video, you can see our videos, but I imagine that there's one called the China UFO, and there's all these really good shots of UFOs all over the world right now where people are doing work.
Are they still pretty active around the mountains?
Oh, yeah, they're really active.
More now than ever?
I think so. You know, having been gone for a while, the people here, the staying here, said that they've been seeing a lot of activity, but it's weather permitting. You know, we'll be out sky watching, and lately the weather hasn't really permitted that. But, you know, every once in a while we get an opening, like tonight, it's clear sky, and last night there was, you know, some activity as well. But I think it's going to be going. but where there's something like 100 billion suns or planets revolving around in our own Milky Way, and they lost track on that. I think there's 500 billion galaxies out there, just like ours.
So are you planning on putting on another UFO convention next year?
Oh, definitely.
Excellent.
I believe July 8th and 9th. I've got to look on the calendar again, but right around the 4th of July weekend, we're going to do it this time. Try to catch it a little earlier so we don't have the extreme heat.
Sure.
That we had last time.
Mm-hmm.
Luke, it never, ever gets that hot up here. Not that many days in a row.
Yeah.
That was just incredibly warm. But with this global warming, you know. One year I had it around, I had a gathering here around the same time, around the July 4th weekend. It was freezing. I mean, it was windy and I mean, it was cold. You never know. It's just, it's so hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
Look ahead in time and see.
So have you ever, I know you were writing, were you finishing another book?
Yeah, I am. My editor is really dragging his feet to get after him. But that one's pretty much finished. It just needs some finishing touches on it. And the second book is being re-edited again. On the shelf. I haven't had time to deal with it because I've been in Mexico, but that's one of my first priorities to get on that.
Mm-hmm.
I might need to add a couple chapters to the other book before releasing it. Or happening, or I'll just do book two.
Yeah.
But it's just been an amazing journey. I'll tell you one thing, though. Down in Mexico, what I learned down there, if anything, was the heart of the people and the family unit. And you see all the girls walking arm in arm with each other. And just the love itself was something greatly missing.
Yeah, by design, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah, this nuclear family thing and this materialism that we have. You know, a lot of them, you know, I think they're some of the richest people in the world down there, even though they don't have a lot. They have a fancy new car and a big house and everything else. They have this beautiful setting there, these incredible beaches, jungle, you know, and they eat well, so all the basics are covered, and they're in their joy.
Yeah.
But you know what? What do we do all this other crap for anyway? It's not to bring joy, and it didn't work. So maybe there's a big lesson there.
I think I had a past life, as a Mexican. And I feel very strong towards the music, the family, the cultures, and I think that's where a lot of the family strength came in, or the feelings for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I did. I have full memory of my past life. I don't have a very strong memory. My own, what do you call it, perception effect. Now, to me, God is a feeling. It always has feelings, not mental concepts. And the people that are trying to intellectualize God and put it into a box, or a mental box, are going to go mad. If they keep trying to go in that direction, if they're so far beyond that, then the only way to access it is really through feelings, not a mental thing.
I agree.
And they, because of the divine feminine energy they are plugged into down there, and the love and the healing nature, right there. That's why we call it the third world country. I think they're the first world country in where we were the first word church before. And that word, you know, in the States here. But, you know, the people down there, you look at the kids, and, you know, I was playing with a lot of the kids down there, and they were beaming. And, just messing around with them, having fun. Now this is gonna, this part is probably gonna blow your mind. They had a thing called, you know, Our Lady of Guadalupe Day.
Right.
They have the floats and the bands and everything. And the whole town's where everybody comes out. And they have these dancing horses and, oh, it's just incredible. You know, the cowboys come down. And, just, you know, it's an amazing event. And I'm at this event. Now, you know, nobody knows I'm down there, you know, at this event, really. And out of all the people in this square, it's just jam-packed. This little girl comes walking across, sees me, comes walking all the way across the square and hands me a picture of the merman. Now, that's how I was onto it. That's how I got onto it. Why this little girl picked me out of all these people down there. There's a lot of other gringos there, too. You know, why this little girl just walks up out of everybody and hands me this photograph and my brother's face is, you know, you have to think about it. What was the guidance? You know, for that.
Yeah.
And I looked around for other photos and other little girls' photos and, you know, and I asked her, I said, what is this? What is this thing, you know? And I was trying to, she said, it's a merman, you know, it's a merman in Spanish, you know, and where did you get this? And she told me, and then so I asked a couple other people around, and then, you know, one of the people said, oh, and then I saw the local newspaper, and here's on the front page of the local newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we got onto it. It says official police report, you know, merman found. So, you know, who knows? You know, but it was the sequence of events was just so strange. You know, it's like it was all being orchestrated.
The synchronicities, yeah.
The synchronicity down there, I kept running into people. I ran into one guy creating a Montessori school down there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's teaching the kids English and educating the kids, and he wants me to come down there and help him, you know, with the center and bringing in the higher knowledge and the other things. And, you know, create some little masters coming out of there, and I tell him I'd love to. And so we're looking at that and creating a center there. It would be like the Ezeti Monastery.
Wow, man, that's fabulous.
So that was one thing. He has some land up there, and he really wants to do something. It's in the perfect location, too. It's in a real high-energy place. So, you know, we're looking at that. But I just see, like, Ezeti Mexico, you know. It's like a link, you know, or have a place up here and a place go back and forth. But I did notice one thing, the people that were very, very responsive to the work we're doing and very open to it, you know, and nobody's waiting there to shoot it down or you know, it takes Black Hawk helicopters too long to get there. You know.
Sorry about that. You know, it's going to be interesting what exactly the game plan is, whether it's an all-out communication or whether it's a slow one where they communicate with a few individuals and then come out, or are they going to mass land, or will they come out of the inner earth, or will they only land in a few areas and then get to know the locals and branch out, or what's going to, don't you think?
Yeah,
what do you think?
I understand. I think it's going to be a grassroots thing, and I think they're going to keep showing themselves over and over to people and start communicating with people that do have an open mind and loving heart, that aren't going to be in fear. And it's more going to be a real
gradual.
happening right now. And it's going to be exponential, but I don't really think they're going to be coming through major governments or organizations or religions.
Right.
I think later on, they're going to try to jump on the bandwagon, you know, because, you know, everybody's going to be looking at them saying, you know, what's the deal? Why aren't you talking about this, you know?
Exactly.
You know, what, you know, how come we're not seeing in the news? How come, you know, the churches are not acknowledging the fact that God's creation goes far beyond the earth, you know? And, you know, so it's just the pressure from the masses is going to push the, you know, the leadership in the other arenas forward, talk about it. So, you know, it's just a matter of time. I think with the new energies coming in, the tyranny that has suppressed, you know, the evolution of man and created so much damage on the earth is going to fold in on itself. And once that's pretty much done, then there's going to be a massive quantum leap in consciousness and technology and you know, the awakening healing of humanity on the earth. It's going to move so fast. It's you know, it's almost going to be unimaginable how quick this unfolds.
I'm going to enjoy it. Yeah, hey, it's because I'm done with this story.
Yeah. You know what I've heard is people are just weary of social consciousness and the limitations and everything. You know, the way the program is now on the earth and the lack of love and joy.
Yeah.
You know, they're just done with it and they're ready for something else. But, you know, the people that want to maintain the status quo are doing everything they can to keep, you know, the old paradigm going. But it's just a matter of time to where it all folds in.
Yeah, well, it always does. Every great empire crumbles to the ground.
Exactly. I don't believe it. You know, I kind of believe that there's two routes that people are going to take. And some people are going to take the downward spiral. And shift, and they're going to be in the places where there is, you know, social, economic, and environmental collapse, and they're going to be magnetized to those areas. And other people are going to take the upward spiral and move into other areas. They're going to be preserved and you know, create communities and things of that nature. I think both paths are going to be accelerated, and there'll be a great polarity, you know, happen, and one is just going to consume itself. And the ones that aren't aligned with the higher energies and the evolution of Earth, which it is its destiny to move on to the next level, are you know, the ones that align with that shift are going to do great, but the ones that resist it are going to, you know, have the downward spiral, which eventually collapses.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. It certainly feels like that.
Yeah, and that whole process that is accelerating rapidly, it seems. You know, and people are just walking away. They're walking away from the old paradigm and saying, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm done with it. And you can see that shift right now in the political arena, you know, and, you know, in the social arena. You can see it unfolding as we speak.
I agree. You see it everywhere, all over the place.
You know, all advanced cultures, you know, even star nations, they choose their leadership according to their spiritual advancement and their service.
Exactly the opposite. Mm-hmm.
You know, we wonder why, you know, there's all this corruption and greed and, you know, the pedophile activity and all the other nonsense. It's because these people just lust for power and wealth at the expense of humanity and nature, you know, just the height of overpowering somebody, you know, even young men, you know, and women. And it's just, there's no love there. It's all Asian lore, three steel chakra nonsense, you know, that's out of balance, like being able to do. So it does seem like one by one they're dropping. know, they're dropping out, and, you know, either physically due to health problems or being exposed.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the whole shakeup's occurring everywhere. I see it, I feel it, I read about it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the dog agrees. But, you can't deny it anymore. It's in your face everywhere. Nature's definitely doing her part. Coming home to Godzilla hit Trout Lake with a big eye opener.
Yeah.
But luckily, I don't think. You know, another thing happened here. I want to talk about this guy, Daryl. I'm trying to remember his last name. I had it written down. His name's Daryl. We had that big gathering in November, where we were talking about the shifts and the frequencies and everything going on right before I left. And this guy was on his way here, and he was in all the news, and he gets. On his way here, he gets buried. He went over the mountain, and they closed the road right behind him. And he got hit with a huge blizzard, and I guess his car just was buried. He was buried for 2 weeks. And, you know, everybody was looking for him. And you know, nobody thought he was on that road because the road was closed. But somehow he got by. I don't know how he got on the road. But at the last minute, I changed the gathering from making spaghetti for everybody and having a big spaghetti feed here to a potluck. And something just told me to do that. You know, something told me, you know what? We should just make this a potluck. And I didn't know why. And if it wasn't for the potluck and this guy bringing all this food, he would be dead right now.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
They found him 2 weeks. It was like everybody kind of passed him off for dead, but this one snowmobiler guy just went away from all the other. Everybody backed up. The other search teams and the guy goes, "I'm not giving up." And he kept going, plowing through, and found the guy and threw him, got him on the back of this thing and pulled him out of there. And just an amazing story. But this guy was eating, you know, the food that he was bringing for the. I mean, for the gathering, you know, and his generosity probably saved his life.
I love, I love stories like that. At least they have happy endings.
Yeah, this guy prayed and prayed, you know, and then like 2 weeks he's gone. There's no way we're going to be.
Well, we're at about 57 after, so I'll just let you close her off, and thank you. Thank you for having me on your show, James. Thank you.
All right. Close out here, and this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. It's been a wonderful evening talking with everybody and sharing some of our stories, and we'll be back on the air again next Saturday, 8 o'clock. Have a great evening. Good night.